Joe Pesci played an adaptation of a real-life gangster in the movie Casino. Today, we talk about Anthony Speranzo.
Ladies and gentlemen of all ages, boys and girls, thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of Angry Meat Production. We appreciate you coming in and letting us be a part of your lives, week in and week out. We hope to do our best to present you with something that your eardrums delight in. Whether you're looking at us on YouTube or Rumble, or listening to us on Spotify, Google, or Anchor, or any of the other podcast services that we are currently on or trying to get on, we thank you. And if you don't mind, at the end of every episode, stop by, leave us a comment, leave us a like. If it asks for 5 stars, we'll take 5 stars, even if you don't like us. 5 stars are what it's all about. With that being said, we hope you enjoy our attempt to make our advocation, our vocation. Ladies and gentlemen, let the games begin.
We here at Angry Meat Production want to thank our sponsor, Mobile Notary Mindy. She's certified with the National Notary Association. She's also bonded and E&O insured. She offers a wide range of services, including wills, powers of attorney, medical documents, healthcare proxies, living wills, certification of trust, assignment of personal property, HIPAA waivers, advanced healthcare directives, and 99 verification. You can find her on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram at Mobile Notary Mindy. You can also visit her webpage at TexasMobileNotaryMindy.com. That's TXMobileNotaryMindy.com. Thank you so much and enjoy the show.
Welcome, Angry Faithful. Yes, today we're going to talk about Anthony Speranzo. Yes, he was played in, I love that movie to death, Casino by Joe Pesci. And his character name in the movie was Nicky Santoro. Totally different names. I don't know why they would hide the names and everything. But anyways, let us begin. Now, Speranzo was born in Chicago, Illinois, the fourth of 6 children to Pascal Patsy Speranzo Sr. and Antoinette Speranzo. He attended Burbank Elementary School and entered Stanmez High School in 1953. His father had immigrated from Tanganyro province of Burley, Italy, and had arrived on Ellis Island in 1914. He and his mother ran Patsy's Restaurant, which was frequented by mobsters at that time. Jackie the Lackey, Siren, Gus, Alex, and Frankie the Enforcer Nitti. Now, Tony and his four brothers, John, Vincent, Victor, and Michael, become involved in criminal activity starting at an early age. After Tony and Michael's death, his brother Victor would be inducted into the outfit a year later in 1987. The remaining brother, Patrick Pascal Jr., became a dentist, and this actually, foreshadowing, plays part of what happened to Anthony Speranzo. Speranzo was a boyhood friend with Frank Caluta, and started a criminal career together as teenagers, engaging in theft, burglary, and murder. He was nicknamed Tony the Ant because of media when the FBI agent, Special Agent William Romer, referred to Speranzo as a little pissant. Since the media could not use pissant, they shortened it to ant. So sad. That's not even a bad word now. Anyways. Now, Anthony Speranzo created the gang, the Hole in the Wall Gang, in 1971. Speranzo moved to Las Vegas and managed the affairs of the Chicago outfit there. He formed the Hole in the Wall Gang, a group of experienced thieves, safecrackers, and killers. The crew became known into the media as the Hole in Wall Gang because they gained entry to the homes and buildings by drilling through the exterior walls and ceilings of the location they burglarized. In early 1979, Frank Kalula moved to Las Vegas to join Sperato. On July 4th, 1981, the Hole in Wall Gang robbed a Bertha's Gifts, Homes, and Furnishing on East Sahara Avenue in Las Vegas. The robbery was a bust as much as the gang was arrested, including Kalua, Joe Blasco, Leo Gardino, Ernest Davino, and Lawrence Newman, and Wayne Maddock. Each charged with burglary, conspiracy of committing burglary, and attempting grand larceny, and possession of burglary tools. Now, this is kind of weird. It's one of those things. It's if you're a burglar, they're burglary tools. Because I was looking up burglary tools before I started up, because it just popped out at me. if you have a hammer, it's a hammer. But if you're going to burglarize, it's burglary tools. It's kind of a wording stuff for the law type deal. Anyways, around this time, Speranzo had a frail with Frank Rosta's wife, Jiri McGee. Now, we all know this from the movie Casino that happened and kind of ruined everything for everybody in that circle. The movie actually portrays it's almost a documentary how much it wasn't even dramatized that bad. Everything that happened in the movie almost happened exactly in real life. In 1982, Kalota was imprisoned and approached by the FBI with a wiretap of Speranzo talking with someone about having to clean our dirty laundry. Kalota took this as an innuendo as a contract on his life. Due to this, in July 1982, Kalula finalized a agreement with the prosecutors. In September 1983, Sperato was indicted for conspiracy and obstruction of justice in the Sherwin Jerry Listener murder and released on bail for $100,000 at the trial. In October 1983, Kalota admitted that he was involved in about 300 crimes, including four murders, perjury, robbery, and burglaries. Say that five times fast. That was tough. I'm not going to lie. I took everything on that one to say all that. Just those three words together almost broke me, but we're going to keep on going. Anyways, he also testified that Speranzo was his boss in Vegas. Ordered to make a phone call to lure one of the 1962 murder victims, William McCarthy, who is a fast food restaurant chain owner, and James Miraglia.
Miraglia.
And they were found dead in the trunk of a car on May 14th, 1962. McCarthy's head had been placed in a vise and his throat slashed. That was part of the first part of the movie. And while Miraglia was strangled, Speranzo was acquitted later that year of all charges. Speranzo's defense attorney was the future Las Vegas mayor of his name was Oscar Goodman. Speranzo and his brother Michael disappeared on June 14, 1986, after they drove away together from Michael's Oak Park home. Michael's wife, Annie, reported that both of the brothers were missing on June 16th. Michael's car, a 1986 Lincoln, was recovered several days later in a motel parking lot near O'Hare International Airport. On June 22nd, their bodies were found, one on top of each other, stripped down to their undershorts, their underwear, buried in a cornfield in West Solos Preserve in Enos, Indiana. The freshly turned earth had been noticed by a farmer who thought that the remains of a deer had been killed out of season by poachers and then he notified authorities. Autopsy completed on June 24th identified the cause of death of blunt force trauma and asserted that they had been dead since June 14th. They were identified by dental rectus supplied by their dentist. That was their brother, Patrick Speranzo. It's kind of bad that you have to help out identify the bodies of their dental records because you're the dentist of the family. Two were buried in a family plot in Queens Heaven Cemetery in Hillside, Illinois on June 27th. In January 1986, in the wake of the imprisonment of Joseph Apola and John Sereno. I think it's Sereno. Stephanie.
Saron.
Okay. For skimming in Las Vegas casino profits, which is actually at the end of the movie. It's really weird because I could probably read this whole thing and the plot line of Casino and it blends together. You're actually getting a little bit more in-depth stuff on this one. Just a small amount, not that big. Now, you're getting the actual right information, not the dramatized information, basically. Basically, they were skipping profits in the casinos in Las Vegas. A meeting was held in the Chech Lounge in North Riverside, Illinois. Most of the upper echelon were there, including the outfit boss, Tony Joe Batters Accordo. That's so weird. You're giving like four names. A nickname, Joe Batters and Tony. Okay. Tony decided to appoint Samuel Carces as the street boss in the charge of the outfit operations to replace Apoda. Carlisti told the group that Cordo would stay on as a consigliere and would have final say, as well as Gus Alex staying ahead of the connections for the guys. He then went to the onto the first problem, Esperanto, and they asked how things are going to go down since he took over Vegas. Mobsters mob enforcement Rico Infasile said, "Hit him." Basically, get rid of Spilantro. Everyone else in the meeting agreed, and Spilantro was placed in Vegas by Donald the Wizard of Odds. God, I love these nicknames. Algerina. Although the organization reported stated that Speranzo were beaten and buried in Endos, Illinois, in Cornfield, monsters, and this is where it turns on the story, because in the movie they actually went to the cornfield, they realized what was happening, and then the beating happened at the cornfield. But in the real life, mobster Nicholas Calabrese testified in Operation Family Secrets in 2007 that the brothers were killed in a Bensville, Illinois basement first, where the Speranzos believe Michael would be inducted into the outfit, then their bodies would transport into the cornfield. According to court testimony, when Tony entered the basement and realized what was going to happen, he asked if he could say a prayer. No arrests have ever been made until April 25th, 2005, when 14 murders of the 14 members of the Chicago outfit, including reputed boss James Macarlo, were indicted for 18 murders, including the Speranzo. The suspected murders included Capo Albert Tuca from Chicago Heights, Illinois, who was sentenced to 200 years in prison in 1990 after his wife testified against him. She testified that in 1986, she drove her husband from an Indiana cornfield where he had told her he just buried Speranzo. On May 18, 2007, the star witness of the government case against the 14 Chicago mob boss figures, Nicholas Cabriz pleaded guilty to taking part of the conspiracy that included 18 murders. Under heavy security, Calabrese admitted that he took part in planning and carrying out 14 of the murders, including the Speranzo killings. He became the key witness against his brother, Frank Calabrese Sr., and other major mob figures, charging in the government family secret trial. Calabrese agreed to testify after the FBI showed him DNA evidence linking him to the murder of fellow hitman John Fencarto. Fencarta, who was also allegedly involved in the Speranza slayings. In September 2007, Frank Calabrese Sr. And four other men, Marcelo, Joseph Lombardi, Lombardo, Paul the Indian Sereno, and former Chicago police officer Andy Twine Donnelly. God, I just love these nicknames. I know I'm preaching over and over and over again on that, but I love them. Mobsters have really good freaking nip gangs. Were convicted of mob-related crimes on September 27, 2007. Marcelo was found guilty of federally, by a federal jury in the murders of both Speranza brothers. On February 5, 2009, Marcelo was sentenced to life imprisonment for the Speranza murders, and United States District Judge James Zangle, agreeing to the presentation made by federal prosecutors Marcus Funk. See, he just, his last name is Seven, is really cool. Also found Marcellus responding for a Daenerys murder as well, even though the jury had deadlocked on that count. On March 26, 2009, Nicholas Calabrese was sentenced to 12 years and 4 months in imprisonment. But in a 2010 interview with Maxim Magazine, while promoting the opening of Las Vegas mob experience at the Tropicana Hotel, Tony Speranza's son, Vincent, claimed that the real target of those killings was actually the brother Michael Speranza, and not and that Tony was killed only because to prevent any revenge. Now, by the time of his death in 1986, the FBI suspected Speranza was involved in 22 or 25 murders, including the murder of Sam DiStefano. God, I had to pronounce that in my head. The murder of Chicago outfit boss Sammy Gersini on June 19th, 1975. The murder of William McCarthy and James McGallo. And the murders of William Action Jackson. God damn, that's good. But anyway, God. But yes, in popular culture in 1980s and 90, NBC did a crime story about the characters, the character of mobster Ray Liotta based of, on Anthony Speranza, which Ray Liotta, yeah, that was on Goodfellas. That was totally different because the actual casino is actually the real base, in my opinion. I still like both of them. Love monster mobster movies, gangsters. Anyways, everybody, that's about it on that one. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for watching, and goodbye.